Thank you for singing this morning, ladies. If you have a copy of God's Word, we're going to be in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 9 this morning. Isaiah chapter 9, we're in a series for Christmas that we've called the Christmas Promise. In Isaiah chapter 9, we're going to get there in just a moment. A little boy and a little girl were singing at their church. They were singing one of their favorite Christmas carols. And the boy concluded Silent Night with the words, "Sleep in heavenly beans." And his sister next to him said, "No, not beans, it's peas." It's interesting how when we sing songs like that, sometimes that we sing like once a year, it would probably be very comical to know what all kind of words were made up in the process of us singing those songs together this morning. Either way, there was a little boy who approached Santa Claus in a department store with a long list of requests. He wanted a bicycle, a sled, a chemical set, a cowboy suit, a set of trains, a baseball glove, and roller skates. And Santa Claus said back to him, "That's a pretty long list of things that you want there," to the little boy. He says, "I'll have to check my book to see if you've been a good boy." And the little boy looked at Santa and said, no. He said, "It's okay, I'll just take the skates." Some of us may feel that way sometimes. Truth is, if it depended upon us being nice or naughty, if that's what determined what we got in this life, we would all be in big trouble. Can I get amen? Because the truth of the matter is, none of us are good, and God tells us that, not in a means of deflating us or demeaning us, but instead he tells us that there's none good, no, not one, for the purpose of helping us come to the place where we understand who he is. And that's the goal in this life. And if you're new to church, and that's not something you've been around a lot, I'll say to you, the things that we say here, the things that we study from the Word of God, and the things maybe that I preach, sometimes may come across like, man, does he not want me to feel good about myself this week at all? You know, does he want me to just go hide somewhere? Well, no, that's not the answer at all. Many times when God addresses things to us, he's trying to help us understand who we are, so we can understand who he is, and we can become like him. And that's his ultimate goal in our lives. And that's sermonette number one. That's not what we're talking about this morning. But we are looking at the Christmas promise. And we're going to be in Isaiah chapter number 9 today as we continue in our study here. If you were to read the whole first section of the book of Isaiah, you would discover that God had called this man, his prophet Isaiah, for a very important task. He's going to send him to his people, and he's going to have him to communicate a message that comes straight from God to God's people to help them understand what their standing is before him. Now, if you are a believer in Christ today and you know Jesus and you've walked with God for a while in your life, then you're fully aware that if you're saved and God lives in you and he's been working in your life and there's been a time in your life when you were really close to Jesus, then you know exactly when you're not really walking with him and close to Jesus. Can I get amen? You know when that is. That's a miserable place to be. And I'll say to you today, if you're a believer in Christ and you know Jesus and you're not walking with Jesus, let me tell you something. You're missing out. You're missing out on life. You've lost all the joy and all the wonderful blessings that come along with having a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's not where you want to be. And if that's where you find yourself this morning, then you of all people are most miserable. And we need to do something about that today. So don't leave this service this morning in that condition. That's not who God called you to be, and that's not what his desire nor his design for your faith is. By any stretch of the imagination, you need to be right with God and walking with him as a believer in Christ. Well, Isaiah is writing to God's people, who are the Jews. If you remember in our previous studies, we talked about a time when the nation of Israel was divided. It became two kingdoms because of some foolishness of man and selfishness and worldly ungodliness. It was divided into two kingdoms, a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. The northern kingdom at this point in time is going to be carried away into captivity. That was what became called the northern kingdom, or it became called Israel in the Old Testament when we're studying it. But then the southern kingdom, which began to be called Judah during this time, Judah was still intact. It was still in place. And ultimately, we know that it's through Judah that God's going to do his workings. And really, God changed from it being called Israel, all of his people, to he really began to focus upon this kingdom of Judah now. And those are the people that as we go on through their Old Testament, we're going to discover that's the people that God's working through. And those are the people that we're going to find this great gift, this great promise that God's made to us. It's going to come through this kingdom or this tribe of Judah later on. Well, Judah is who Isaiah is primarily talking to. And as he talks to them, they're in a place where they've seen some good years. And just to give you an idea of what's taking place, they have seen a lot of prosperity over the time, over the last 2 years. They've had some good kings who came in and made some good choices. And I mean, the stock market was over 20,000 or 4,000 or whatever the numbers are. James, what are the numbers? I don't even know. You don't know either? Well, we're both at a loss then for words. The stock market was booming. You know, the economy was booming. Everything was going great. Everybody had plenty of money in their bank account. And those things were taking place in Judah at that time. They had become a place where there was a lot of commerce and a lot of things happening. But in the midst of all of those things taking place, the people of God, the people of Judah, had come to a situation now where instead of recognizing those blessings that God gave them and saying, thank you, God, that you have made it possible for us to be in this situation, instead of that happening, and be very, very careful here, very careful here, very careful here, instead of them acknowledging God in their blessings and thanking him for them, they came to a place where they started putting the blessing, those things that they enjoyed before God, and they really, in the blessings of God, forgot about God. They turned away from him. And as you study in Isaiah, you'll realize these people got far away from God. They began to go out and chase idols and things of that nature. And that is a temptation and something that we all need to be warned of or reminded of in our lives, that when we see ourselves in a situation where God has truly blessed us and been good to us as a country, as a state, as a city, as a home and a family, we need to realize that God's where all those things come from. As James said, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from where? From Wall Street or from Washington, D.C.? No. Cometh down from above from the Father of lights, or a.k.a. God. He gave that to you. You need to remember that. Those things come from God. Judah had forgotten that. And now Isaiah comes to them with a message from God that's not a very pleasant one. As a matter of fact, he tells them, you guys are in serious trouble. Because here's what's about to take place. There's going to be a kingdom that's going to come, and it's going to come down from the north. And as it comes, it's going to begin to wipe out each of those kingdoms, each of those little tribes that make up this whole kingdom of this southern kingdom of Judah. They're going to start wiping them out. And as they inch towards Jerusalem, they are going to destroy everything in their path. And you guys, you, God's people, the ones who are supposed to be the blessed people, and the ones who walk with God, you people are going to come to a place where you're going to be destroyed. Destroyed. That's God's warning through Isaiah the prophet to his people. Now, in the midst of that report is where we're going to pick up today. We're talking about the Christmas promise. And in the midst of that report, Isaiah is going to say, but, and I like it, I'm glad that there was like one of those, hang on a second, wait a minute, there's something else to this story. I'm glad he tells us, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story, because he does not leave them there. He does not leave them in a place that's hopeless and there's nothing to look forward to, and we might as well just quit now, because he didn't leave them in that place. Instead, he comes along and he says, there's a promise that God wants you to know about what he is going to do one day. And that's in Isaiah chapter number 9. Look at verse number 6 with me. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. It says this. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Last week, if you were here with us when we began this Christmas promise series, we looked at, from Genesis chapter 3, exactly what this promise was going to do. And we realized last week that the promise is not something, but it is someone. And that promise was what God said, well, he was going to send to this world. And he was going to send someone who would be a Messiah. And if you remember last week, he is going to crush, he's going to bruise his heel. The Bible says Satan's going to bruise his heel, but he is going to crush Satan's head. That's the picture we had last week. That's what he was going to do. Now Isaiah takes it a step further, and he tells us who this promise, this Messiah, is going to be. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. He gives us some insight here into how this is going to happen. There will be one born in this world who is going to be this person. And then he begins to define it for us. He starts out by using the word wonderful, and I like this. How do you explain wonderful? That's a good question. The idea, by the way, in the original language was, he is one that is of wonders, is the idea. And I try to think, when have I used the word wonderful? Well, I thought back to when I was dating in college. Now, how many of y'all remember when you first met your honey? Raise your hand. And you were just like, come on. Would y'all nudge your husbands, ladies? This is a chance for them to score some major points in church right now, and you got to get them away. How many of y'all remember when you first met your honey, guys? Yeah. And you remember, man, you were head over heels. And even Dwayne skipped some meals at that time. I mean, you could just, that's all you could think about was her. And it was like, man, that's just all you could think about. I mean, you couldn't even eat or sleep, you know. And some of the singers down through the years have caught on to that feeling and that emotion because they make songs like, my hands are sweaty and my knees are weak. I don't even know who that guy is and whatever. But my hands are sweaty, my knees are weak, I can't eat and I can't sleep. It's turning me every way but loose. It sounds like love's got a hold on you. And you're like, yay, he sang a country song in church. Yeah, right? Not endorsing him by any stretch of the imagination. That emotion of like just being head over heels in love. Some of y'all may be able to understand. Well, if you were asked at that time, fellas, about her, you might very well say the word, she is wonderful. Which means, she's everything that I ever wanted, everything that I ever looked for. There is not a flaw in her. She is just beyond words. Wonderful. And then you got married, and what happened, Dwayne? Yes. Yes. She's wonderful. Well, as Isaiah begins to introduce us to this promise, this Messiah, he says, hey, listen, the best thing I can say about him is he is wonderful. Wonderful. And then he goes on. As he's introducing us to him, and he said, not only is he wonderful, but he uses the word counselor. Now, this is where the sermon really starts, and this is what we need to get a hold of today. Counselor, what does that mean? What is he saying to us? Who is he introducing us to? Well, here is who this promise, here's who this Messiah is going to be. He is going to be the one, and this is so important to a believer, he is going to be the one that is capable of helping us understand and make decisions in our lives far beyond anyone else. Now, you probably, or maybe, you have someone that when you got to think through something, you got to make a decision, you have somebody that you call and say, hey, so-and-so, I'm thinking about this, I'm trying to decide what to do here. What do you think about that, or what advice do you have to give me? When I first became a pastor, a senior pastor, I ran into a lot of those situations. It's like, well, what do you do about a constitution and bylaws and these things? Or what do you do about this situation? Or how do you handle that? And man, you know what I did? I prayed and asked you. No, I called people that I knew that had been pastors for a long time. And I said, one of them was Dr. Bruce Barnes. I said, Dr. Barnes, we got a situation where, man, there's some things in these documents, constitution bylaws that, you know, I'm not sure about, and they don't really do these things. And is it okay to change that? And I had to get some advice. And I was thankful for a godly man who loved God and had some godly wisdom from years of experience in studying God's word who could help me in that situation. It was so good to have somebody to go to and talk to give me some insight. But that's not exactly what Isaiah means here by counselor when he's talking about this promise. He's talking about somebody that goes far beyond that. You see, Dr. Barnes, though he's a smart guy, and I tell you, he is just unbelievably a smart guy, but he has his limitations. He don't know everything about the whole world, and he doesn't know where everything started and how it began, and he don't know everything about how everything's going to turn out, and he can't even completely know the past because he don't know everything about me, and he don't know everything about this church, and he don't know everything about you, and he sure can't see what's going to happen tomorrow because none of us are capable of doing that. Only God knows those things. And when Isaiah introduces us to this promise, this Messiah, and he calls him the counselor, what he's saying is, he is the one who knows it all. And he can help you. Now that's important. Because there will be many times in this life where you're going to have to make some decisions. You're going to have to decide, what do I do here? There will be many things that come into life that we are not capable of making the decision all on our own. I'm so thankful that this promised Messiah that's going to come, he says, is the counselor. The counselor. He can help us. Why? Because he knows all. He sees it all. So if you find yourself in a situation right now where you're trying to make a decision, what do I do here? Let me just throw some thoughts out to you. You know, I got this, maybe you got a girlfriend. Maybe you don't, you know. No. Maybe there's a financial decision you need to make. Maybe there's something that you're really not sure about in your life and you're really struggling, you're trying to decide. Listen, he is the counselor. You can ask him, and he knows. His counsel is always 100% perfect. That's who he is. He says he's wonderful. He's the counselor. And then thirdly, he introduces us to him as the mighty God. Now, we need to talk about this word for a moment because it entails a lot. It's El Gibor in the Hebrew. And simply the idea there is this is God. This is God. The idea of mighty is that he is the one who's over all. He is above all. He's able to control all. He holds all in his hands. He is God of creation, God of the universe. He is the sustainer and the maker of all things. That's who this is. That's important for you and I because it helps us understand that our God is in control of everything in this world. He's over it all. Nobody can violate God's sovereignty. Nobody can come along and say, you know what, I think I'm going to do it this way because God wanted it this way and I don't like that. I'm going to do it this way. Nobody can violate God's sovereignty. He is always completely and entirely in control of everything that happens. He watches over us. He is with us. And we can rest assured that this promised Messiah will be the very mighty God of this universe. That's who he is. He says he's the mighty God. Verse 6 again. He says he's the everlasting Father. When Isaiah introduces him as the everlasting Father, he's shedding some light for us on who exactly this promised Messiah is. When you first look at that, and this is what I did, I said, well, is mighty God and everlasting Father not the same thing? That was my first thought. And I had to begin to do some reading and thinking about this to get, because it wouldn't make sense to say the same thing twice in this verse. So what does he say? I made the baby cry. Yeah, I made the baby cry, okay? I did. It's my fault. It's everlasting Father. Many of the people that I read after when I began to search out this topic and the subject matter shed light on this in saying that the word everlasting Father was meant to cause the people to think about their earthly relationship with their father. Here's who he is. He's going to be a father to you. Father to you. Now that meant something then. Today in our society, that don't always mean anything. But to them it meant something. Because your father was the one who provided for you. Your father was the one who ultimately protected you. Your father was the one who was there for you. And you could depend upon him to always be a part of your life. Whatever happened, whatever came along, you could always know that Daddy would be there for me. And the writers say that's the idea here. When they say father, they wanted them to think about an earthly relationship. As a child, I remember I lost my mom when I was really young. So it was my dad, my brother, and myself growing up way down in the woods in Mississippi. And I remember many times in life where as a little boy, I would be afraid. I would be scared. But yet I knew my daddy was right there. I knew he was there. When I was a little boy, my mom had passed away. And at that time, my bedroom was straight across the hallway from my dad's bedroom. And I remember laying in bed at night. Maybe you can, I know you guys never had this problem, but you know, maybe the ladies can connect with this. I remember laying in bed at night and when the lights went out and the moon would be out there and out in the country, you know, the moon shines, you know. I didn't say we made moonshine, but the moon shines out in the country. You can see the light. and the moon was shining through the window. And isn't it amazing when the lights are off and it's dark and that little bit of light coming through, how it can make all kind of stuff appear? You know what I'm talking about? Like, I remember as a kid, I would look over towards the wall in my bedroom, and I would declare that there was somebody standing in that corner about to get me. All the time. I just felt it. I could see them. I knew they were there. And I would sit there, and I was like, well, I know it's not real. I know that's not what it is. And I know it's not what it is. And I would sit there, and I was just like, and I'd cover my face up with my covers, and I'd be like, and I would just sit there, it's not real. And I'd say, Daddy! Why'd I call on him? Because I knew he would protect me. And he would get up, he'd come in my room, he would take me back in or yell at me. No, he wouldn't yell at me. That's what he felt like doing, probably. He would come tuck me in, and he would comfort me. I knew he was there. Not only did he provide for me, I knew he would protect me. He would protect me. And Father, and then an everlasting Father. A Father without end. At some point in time in my life, I thankfully stopped seeing boogers, you know, in my bedroom at night. Thankfully, I got over that. That's like 2 or 3 years ago, you know, I finally got past that. Came to a place where I no longer was afraid of things of that nature. But you know what hasn't changed? I'm still afraid of things. Many times in this life, I come to things and I face situations that I'm so fearful of. You know what Isaiah says? Let me tell you who this is going to be. He is an everlasting Father, he will always, always be there for you. Providing, protecting. He's there. That's who this Christmas promise is going to be. And then he gives him one more title to help us understand who he is. He said he is going to be the Prince of Peace. Listen to me this morning. Here's what Jesus Christ can do in anybody's life. When God made you, and God did make you, amen? God made everything, amen? We need to make sure we know that, and we make sure our kids know that. God is the one who created all things. And regardless of what they may hear somewhere else, whether it's at home watching a story about dinosaurs, and they start out saying, 175 gazillion years ago, you know. No, God made that. God made that. And God made you. When God made you, he placed inside of you an inherent need for him. Now get that. He placed inside of you a need for him. You need God. All of us do. In the way that he lets that need be manifest in most cases is he makes it so that we experience in our hearts as an unbeliever, somebody who doesn't know God, we experience in our hearts an unrest, feeling like turmoil inside of us that could almost come to the place of driving us driving us mad. It could just drive us insane. And we experience it. We know it's there. We know that we're missing something, and there's a turmoil inside of us. And we know we need something. By the way, that's where a lot of people in their lives, because they choose for whatever reason, instead of trying to find the answer in God, they try to find the answer somewhere else. And that's why you have people who are addicted to drugs. Not because drugs are awesome. Drugs are not awesome. Drugs make you sick. That's why people are alcoholics, drunks. It's not because they enjoy waking up the next morning not knowing where they've been, what they did, and feeling like somebody hit them with a Big Mac truck last night. Nobody enjoys that. That's not fun. No, the reason those things are so appealing is because it gives them the opportunity for just a little while to escape that gnawing reality of that turmoil inside of them. That something's wrong. Something's missing. God designed you that way. Every one of us have that inside of us. When Isaiah introduces us to this one who is going to be this Christmas promise, this Messiah, he calls him the Prince of Peace because he wants us to understand that he and he alone is the only one who's capable of coming into our lives and filling that void, filling that need, taking away that turmoil, and in its place putting perfect peace. The Prince of Peace. Today you may be someone who doesn't know Christ. You never been, and I have to go through these and qualify these words, you've never been born again. You've never come to the place where you understand, you understood that Jesus Christ was God's Son who he sent to this earth, and he died on the cross for your sins. He died for your sins. And now you, as a sinner, a person who is bankrupt, a person who knows inside that there's something missing, there's a void in your heart and life, you know that there's a need that you have, and you've tried to meet it in many different ways, but you just can't seem to fill it. You know that there's something wrong. And then you realize Christ died for your sins, and you realize that he loves you and invites you to himself, and you accept that invitation. You become a believer in Christ. If that's never happened in your life, then I can tell you some things about yourself, even if I don't know you. First, I can tell you that you got something missing in your life. I know it. You don't have to tell me. I already know. There's something missing in your life. Secondly, I can tell you, you are not a person who is at peace. You're not at peace. There's turmoil inside of you. And you might have tried many different things to squelch that or to quiet that turmoil in your heart and life. Or you might have tried to do a lot of different things to take care of that. And it could be, as I mentioned, drugs, alcohol. Those things definitely give a temporary escape from reality. You might have chosen instead to say, hey, you know what I'm going to do? Since this turmoil is in my heart and I don't have any peace in my life, I'm going to just try to go do some good stuff. So you found I'm trying to find a little old lady, but there's no old people here today, so let me find, no. You found somebody that you could say, here, let me help you with that. Or you saw somebody on the side of the road with a flat and you said, hey, let me help you change that flat tire. Or you saw someone with a specific need and you said, hey, here's a little bit of money, let me help you meet that need. And on the inside, just for a little while, man, that made you feel good. There's many things that we will do in this life to try to quiet that storm in our hearts. But the reality is, there is only one thing. There's only one thing that will fix that problem. And that is the Prince of Peace. Only Jesus Christ can bring into my heart and life true and perfect peace. He's the only one that's capable of doing that. Only Jesus can do that. To the believer today, I will say this quickly as a side note. Jesus brings peace into our lives when we come to faith in Christ. But even as a believer, there can come a place and time in my life where, man, I lose that peace. I lose that little bit of that joy in my life. And I discover that, once again, I'm at a place where I feel like it's turmoil inside. And do you know that God, who uses that void in your life and that turmoil to bring you to himself, he also uses that same turmoil when we get ourselves in a place where we've distanced ourselves from him. He uses that same turmoil to bring you to the place where you realize that you've gotten away from him. He brings those same experiences, those same feelings into our lives to help us know that, hey, you've gotten away from me. You're not where I want you to be. You're not in the place that I designed for you to be in. And as a believer now, you've got to realize that that's happening in your life. You've got to realize how terrible it is not to have that joy and that peace in your heart. And you've got to come to the place where you say, hey, I need God in my life again. I need to get back where I'm supposed to be. And man, how can we talk about the Prince of Peace without saying this morning, if you know Christ and you've been saved, but you've gotten distant from him in some way or another, and you once again are having turmoil in your heart, you better run back to him. You better come back to him. Thank God that he don't let us just walk away without first of all doing everything that he allows himself to do to prevent you from leaving him. He gives you that turmoil in your heart again. There may be somebody here today who's a believer, and I've been saved. I know I have. But yet in my life, you have described me perfectly. I'm in turmoil. As a believer, that only happens when you turn the wrong direction. You've gotten away from him. He wants you to have joy and peace in your hearts. And when those aren't there, it's him telling you, you've gone the wrong direction. You need to come back to me. Come back to me. Isaiah says he is going to be the Prince of Peace. He's going to be the one that can come. And in the soul of a individual that God's created in this world, he can give his perfect peace. His perfect peace. So as you sit here this morning, I don't know how all that exactly applies to your life, but I will say this quickly. He's wonderful. He's a counselor. He knows what you need before you ever come and ask him. Learn to go to him. He's a mighty God. We're not talking about somebody, you know, it's good to have a friend you can talk to. It's good to have a pastor you could go help, get, ask some help from. It's good to have a rich aunt or uncle, amen? To help you. We're not talking about that. We're talking about God who rules his creation and available to you through this Christmas promise. The everlasting Father. Through life we've learned that most likely we will outlive our parents. And at some point in time, Daddy, who I would holler for when I saw the shadow on the wall at night, at some point in time, probably going to leave this world. And the truth is, I will grow up at some place in my life and come to the situation where I don't need him like I did, per se. But Isaiah says, this promise is going to be an everlasting Father. Forever. And then the Prince of Peace. The only source of the peace that you need. I don't know what your situation is this morning as you sit here in this service, but whatever it may be, can I say to you, that's who he is. And he can meet your need. He can meet your need. So as a believer this morning, if you need direction, guidance, insight, help, he's here for you. That's who he is. As a believer today, you feel like you're kind of experiencing a time in your life where you need Daddy. Listen, he's here. You're in a place in your life where maybe you haven't got the peace that you had before and you wonder why. Listen, that's who he is. And then if you don't know Christ today, listen. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the only one that's going to be able to quiet that storm in your soul. You can try many other things, but they're all going to be temporary. He's the only one that can do it. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.